We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yep, it is a rainy Thursday. The good news is this stuff is going to be out of here, and it's going to be a beautiful Friday and Saturday, and maybe a little chance of rain on Sunday. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you are with us this afternoon here on WWL, AMFM, and.com. I got home last night just in time to see about 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter of the Spurs-Pelicans game, and I saw Zion Williamson. I saw him hit those shots. I mean, he was just a monster. You know, the guy's not that tall on NBA standards. He's 6'6", but he's a beast. I think he outweighed everybody on the court like by 90 pounds. Now, I don't know. Is he going to trim down a little bit? Maybe. But look at what he's doing now. And it's also amazing to just think about how, over the years, basketball has become much more of a physical sport. And Zion Williamson seems to be like the perfect candidate to just be a big star in the NBA. But it was so much fun to watch him, and I wish I could have been there. I went to the play Miss Saigon, which is at the Sanger Theater. I'll be talking about that a little bit later, but I was really impressed. I was surprised that it was so, shall I say, racy. I mean, it was kind of racy, kind of naughty. There were some scenes in there that I didn't expect to see those scenes in the play. Now, I mean, there was nothing obscene, but there were just some very... again, some really racy stuff and some really racy movements and action on the stage. A lot of crotch grabbing on the part of females. Some profanity. But it really was a beautiful and sad story. So we'll talk a little bit more about that later in the show. So the blog that I wrote yesterday about the city and the shameful decision to cover the body with a tarp at the Hard Rock collapse has kind of gone viral. And if you haven't read it, it's on the Scoot page. Just go to our website, WWL.com. And up in the upper left-hand corner, there's menu. Click on menu, then click on shows, then click on Scoot, and you'll find it posted there. And much of our conversation from yesterday is posted under On Demand over on the right. But you can find that. Also, I don't think I posted it on my SOTA Facebook page yet, but I'll get to that later. But anyway, you can find it on the Scoot page at WWL.com. Also, I want to mention that, you know, the name Captain Humble has come up in the last couple of months. Captain Humble and I were very much involved in kind of a revolution of radio. Long before there was Howard Stern, long before there were shock jocks, I was kind of really pushing the envelope and just seeing how far I could go, especially with like just the First Amendment. Some of it was political. Some of it was not. And anyway, Captain Humble and I, his name has come up recently and people have wondered what happened to him. And the best that we can tell is it appears as if he passed away in 2015. And he was a very original character on the radio. And when I was first getting into radio, I was smart enough to go, okay, this guy's got an audience. I need to align myself with Captain Humble. And we did so many things together. But interestingly, we never, ever did a show together. I mean, he was on my show, and I was on his show, and we did a lot of stuff in public, but it was never a two-man show. And people always think about, oh, I remember when you were doing a show with Captain Humble. No, we actually never did a show together, but we spent a lot of time on each other's shows. Anyway, there are not many pictures of Captain Humble and me. And I found this picture of Captain Humble and me, and I posted it on my Instagram account. So you can go to my Instagram account, SOTA, Scoot on the Air, and check out that picture, a rare photograph of me with radio legend Captain Humble. And, you know, we're smiling, and God knows what we have just said to each other. But we appear to be laughing and having a really great time. And again, God knows what we said to each other at that moment. But anyway, you can check that out on Instagram, SOTA Scoot on the Air. We'll get to the Hard Rock Collapse here in just a moment. Taylor Swift has released a song that has a strong political message. Now, it's not out yet. It's coming out January 31st. And I'll tell you about what's in the song. I haven't been able to find it. I looked. It's titled Only the Young. But it seems that she already sings a song, Only the Young, but it's not this particular song. So when it's released, we'll play it. But I'll tell you a little bit about what's in it. But it brings up an interesting question. How much should parents control the music their kids listen to? And beyond the profanity, beyond the graphic violence of some rap and hip-hop music, beyond that, there are political messages. If you're a conservative and a Republican, and Taylor Swift has a song out that is kind of anti-Republican, would you stop your kids from listening to it? Would you make sure that they didn't download the song? And did your parents ban any rock music from you when you were growing up? And we'll talk about that in the next hour. Also, we were going to talk about this yesterday, didn't get to it, so hopefully we'll get to it today. All waiters and waitresses are not waiting tables as their career. Now, some do, and some have made a tremendous living, have really made a career out of being great bartenders, great waiters, great waitresses, especially in some of the downtown restaurants. Antoine's, for example, they've got, I think they have a waiter there who's been there like 50 years. So there are people who have selected this as a career, and they've done a great job. But a lot of waiters and waitresses are waiting tables to make money while they pursue their other dreams. Are you or were you a waiter or waitress? And what was your real goal while you were waiting tables? I had a brief conversation with a waitress who waited, a friend of mine and I, the other day at True Food Kitchen in the Warehouse District. And she just had such an interesting backstory that it made me realize that, you know, a lot of people who are waiting tables, that's not really what their mind's on that, and they do a great job, but they're really working towards something else. So we'll talk about that. Also, I have a list of celebrities that started out as waiters and waitresses. So we'll get into that a little bit later. If you do want to join us with a comment this afternoon, our number is 260-1870, area code 504-260-1870, and our text is 870-870. When we come back, I want to share with you a couple of national headlines that are out there. And apparently, the blog that I wrote yesterday and the conversations that we had about this on the show yesterday, the conversations that have taken place on WWL have really just led to even more national attention. Channel 4 is doing an investigative report into exactly who's to blame and who's responsible for the situation as it stands today. But I want to share with you a couple of national headlines just to show you how big this has all gotten. And some people just don't understand why the city has waited. And really, I guess this is the question. Do you believe the city of New Orleans when the city says we cannot remove the body that is partially exposed? Do you believe the city? I'm Scoot. Our number is 260-1870. Text number is 870-870. And we'll be right back on WWL. And obviously, this body that's partially protruding from the Hard Rock Hotel collapse has been a dirty little secret of the city of New Orleans that was exposed when the wind blew the tarp. It just seems like there's so much mismanagement here. You know, it doesn't bring me pleasure to be critical about anything involving New Orleans. I love the city. And I'm going to end this show with a song called New Orleans. Just before the last code word, right before the top of the hour news at 4 o'clock, I'm going to end the show with a song called New Orleans by a relatively new group. The group's called Parachute, but I love the song. I love the city. But we can't be afraid to talk about the truth. And while there is fault on the part of the construction company, the city said it is under control of the site. Therefore, a lot of fingers have to point at the city. And it's difficult for me to believe that nothing can be done. And if this really is true, then the city hasn't done a very good job convincing me and many of you that it can't be done. Where is the mayor? New Orleans Fire Chief Tim McConnell, he's the voice of all of this. He's the face of all of this. Where's the mayor? He's doing a good job being upfront, but this needs to come from the mayor as well. And what's the direct connection between the fire department and the collapsed hotel? Maybe I'm missing something. Anyway, the news is all over. Here is the headline on CNN. This is CNN.com. So it's around the country and around the world. Well, we know it was going to get out. The headline reads, "It's been 3 months since the New Orleans Hard Rock Hotel collapse. The bodies of those killed are still there." Another headline in the New York Post reads, "Corpse visible in New Orleans Hard Rock Hotel debris months after collapse." And the first paragraph of the article in the New York Post reads, "The body of a construction worker who died in last year's Hard Rock Hotel crane collapse in New Orleans and couldn't be safely removed from the heavily damaged building was exposed when a tarp covering it blew off." So there just needs to be more accountability and more communication. Another thing that I notice about my city that I am so proud of in so many ways is that there's a tendency to want to just hide things. There's a tendency to want to pretend something didn't happen. And if you don't talk about it, then it just kind of goes away. Well, in part, it's the role of the media, and should be the role of the media, to keep things alive so you don't forget, so you don't allow the city to allow you to forget. Because again, there's a tendency to, hey, let's just not talk about it. It will go away. But it doesn't change the situation. And that's why the city overall should be more proactive and more upfront. And I can say this about the Landry administration as well. And probably others as well. But there needs to be more openness. There needs to be more communication. There needs to be a greater attempt to let us know, to reassure us, the citizens, and those who call New Orleans home, even if you live in the suburbs or across the lake or down on the bayou, to let us know that, yes, everything has been tried. And here's why it can't be done. And I don't know about you, but I haven't heard enough of that. From New Orleans, Michael, you're on WWL.
Hey, how we doing?
Good.
Good, good. So I was calling him because he's talking about, you know, working in a restaurant.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about that later, but it occurs to me that a lot of people who wait tables, they're just doing that to make money to pursue another career. Is that the case with you?
Yeah. I mean, I've been pursuing acting since I was 18 years old. I'm 31 now, just starting to have success at it. I have two movies coming out, and if it wasn't for waiting tables, I would have never been able to get to where I'm at.
Now, that doesn't mean that you're not paying attention to waiting tables. It just means that, you know, you're not waiting tables as a career. This is something you're doing, and I'm assuming you do a good job, but you really have bigger dreams. And so I guess what I'm bringing up is there's a backstory behind a lot of waiters and waitresses.
I would say almost 95% of them, you know, because what happens is most people, they go into that industry because they know they can make good, decent, quick money. And it's, it's a respectable job, but yeah, they're always pursuing something else. And then sometimes people end up liking it too. So they end up sticking around and making a career. So that's okay too, you know.
Michael, I appreciate the call. And again, we're going to get into this more in the last hour of our show. From the Marigny, Stephen, you're on WWL.
Hey, maybe we're on the Hard Rock. Maybe we're looking at the wrong specialists. Maybe we need to look at the people in the coal mines in West Virginia and Pennsylvania when they have a collapse. And sometimes they have live people that they've got to get to. And so yeah. maybe we need to look at them instead of the one. I mean, the towers in New York were completely collapsed, not still 5 and 6 stories high.
Right.
With, you know, so I mean, and so maybe but we there, need to but look there, into
there,
West
there
Virginia.
There were some, if I'm not mistaken, after 9/11. I mean, there were some areas where the structure was still unstable, and they went in there and they found people.
Yeah, yeah, our bodies.
Right. That's what I mean. Yeah.
So, but I mean, maybe we need to look at it, that the people from West Virginia that deal with coal mines.
You know, Stephen, that's a thought, and it touches on this idea that it almost seems impossible that there's not an expert, there's not a firm, there's not a company that can do this. We're just going to talk about this in the first hour because it's still it's a national story, and it's really becoming more national. And Mardi Gras is approaching, so people are going to come to New Orleans and they're going to see the collapse, and they're going to know that the bodies are still there, and that's kind of an embarrassment. But in particular, what embarrasses me most is the idea that this body is partially protruding from the collapsed building. And what do? They put a red tarp over it. And the wind blows the red tarp away, or partially away, shifts the red tarp, and so then the partial body is exposed, visible from the ground. And so they put up another tarp. I thought I heard yesterday at some point that they putting up another tarp was going to be dangerous. And I get texts like this one: how can they put up a tarp and not remove the body? Well, you know, I know that's an easy question to ask, but putting up a tarp on the outside is easier than going in and removing the body because of what's on, well, without being graphic here, what's on top of the body. But again, I just don't think the city's been upfront enough about this. And there's something, again, it is so typical New Orleans that we delay things. We delay, we point fingers, and we delay. And I don't know what it's going to take. The city needs a good slap in the face. Because maybe that's what it's going to take to get us to start being the way we should be and not the way we've always been. And it seems like from administration to administration, is the mayor's office infected? Is there germs in there that just infect the next administration with the same kind of disease of accepting mediocrity? It seems like that's the case. If you want to join us, 260-1870, text 870-870. I'm Scoot. Let's get an update on the impeachment trial of President Trump, and we'll be back. You know, once again, we're going to spend the rest of this hour talking about how the story has gone national about the body protruding from the Hard Rock Hotel collapse. The development company, Calais? Calais is the development company. I guarantee you something's going to happen here. The Hard Rock Hotel is going to start doing a little better of an investigation into anybody that they allow to get their license. Anybody that they franchise with. The Hard Rock obviously did not look deeply enough into this because there are questions about this development company. And there are questions today. And this seems to be another group that seems to be hiding. Here's a text that says, very kind of the city to put up a new tarp over the body just hours after saying how difficult it would be to do so. I thought the same thing. Oh, it's so difficult, we're not going to be able to do that. I mean, that's the impression we got for part of the day yesterday. And then the public reaction through this show, through talk radio, through WWL, and others was just so overwhelming that the city can't back down. And I guess the mayor is with the contingent in Washington, D.C. for the Mardi Gras ball, which is fine. But she owes the citizens of New Orleans a better explanation of what the hell's going on. That's the least that we not expect. That's the least that we should demand from her. Here's a text that says, Scoot, the National Guard has helicopters that can drop a basket to pick up the body at the Hard Rock. Well, that seems simple, but it's not like the body is just lying there. You know, it's there's stuff on, again, I don't want to be too graphic here, but it's not just lying there. It has to be extracted. So I get that. I understand that. But I'm still not convinced that there's not somebody that could do something. So it shifts a little bit. So part of the building comes down. We can't work out a contingency plan for that. I mean, my God, they still got it all blocked off. They got the fire department standing 24-hour watch. So I think they could do something. And then there was, you know, some conversation about, you know, and you can just imagine the conversations going on about who's going to bring this building down, implode it, whatever. Who's going to demolish it? Who's going to bring it down? And are they going to do the right thing and find the right person to do that? I want Ian Hoke to join us from the other studio because Ian has been monitoring social media. And apparently this march that we talked about briefly yesterday is going to happen tomorrow.
It is definitely happening Friday at 3 p.m. From the Facebook events. As we are marching from the site of the Hard Rock Hotel to City Hall in protest of the refusal to hold the builders accountable for the deaths, injuries, and unsafe work conditions they created. About 500 people have responded.
And that's enough people. I mean, responded in terms of they say they're going to go.
They've said either they're going or they're interested. And anybody who's ever created a Facebook event knows that may not be the most reliable indicator. But, I mean, the discussion is happening, and you know, we'll see how many people show up. And also people will come that aren't a part of this Facebook situation. Yeah.
Okay, we'll talk about that. We'll remind you about that later. So there's going to be a march tomorrow from the site of the collapsed Hard Rock Hotel, downtown New Orleans, to City Hall. At 3 o'clock, starting at 3 o'clock, criticizing the city for refusing to hold people accountable. And if the city is in charge of this, the buck stops with the city. They can point all the fingers they want, but if you're going to come in and say you're in control, then you better be in control. And if you're in control, the responsibility falls on you to get something done, or to do a better job of explaining to us why something wasn't done. If you want to join us with a comment, our number is 260-1870, area code 504-260-1870, and our text is 870-870. From Marrero, Jack, welcome to our show. Hello, Jack. Okay, I'm not sure what's happening there. We'll see if we can get a hold of him. Here's a text that says, of any other city in any other state, would have resolved this already, only in New Orleans. I agree with that. I agree. And I've lived in great cities. So it's not like I haven't lived anywhere. And many of you have lived elsewhere. And you know, again, it comes back to something that I always talk about. There's a tolerance for mediocrity here. There's a tolerance for corruption here. That there's corruption everywhere. But it seems like there is some kind of germ. There's some kind of disease that infects every administration because I don't get any sense of a breakthrough. I got a text a moment ago that says the disease is Democrats. And you know, a case can be made for that. All Democrats are not incompetent. I mean, look at a guy like Tom Steyer, who's running for president. Look at Michael Bloomberg. They're not lazy people. They know how to get action. They know how to do things. President Trump used to be kind of a Democrat. He got things done. So it's not that Democrats are lazy, but there is this mentality with some Democrats who run cities like the city of New Orleans. There is a mentality of not really addressing the real issues. And almost as if they think they're better than us and they just don't have to tell us everything and they don't have to be held accountable. There is an entitlement mentality that is also part of all of this equation. And it's sad. And who suffers? You and I do. But what do? As a city, we put them right back in office. Or we put the same type in office. And there's somebody who's different, we don't put them in office. No, we put the same career politicians in office. Now, that wasn't the case with Ray Nagin. And Ray Nagin had a lot of promise that came along with his leadership in the city. But we all know how that turned out. From New Orleans, Al, you're on WWL.
Hey, how you doing? Just want to make a quick comment. The public it has a right to be upset about the collapse incident, but from the outside looking in, it's totally different. There's so many safety procedures and precautions that.
That's fine, and this would be in the case in any city, but I just don't think any other city would have allowed this to happen up to this point. I don't think it would have happened anywhere else.
Well, that's the view from the outside looking in. Trust me.
Well, tell me what you know.
I was with the department better part of 4 decades, okay?
What department?
The fire department.
Okay.
And trust me, the guys that are in charge right now,
why is the fire department? AJ, I don't blame the fire department, but what is the direct connection with this and the fire department? Why is there a fire truck there 24 hours a day with a fire crew there just standing there maintaining a vigilant presence?
See, that's what I mean. The average person doesn't realize who takes the lead.
Tell me what the connection is.
We have policies and procedures to follow. We have mandated by not just city.
What policy is it that puts the thing's not going to catch on fire, so I'm asking a legitimate question. Why is the fire department there 24 hours? Why is the fire department taking a lead in this? I'm confused.
Well, first of all, it's a collapse. And there's a division within all departments in every city and every city called USAR. Urban Search and Rescue. Anybody not familiar with it? Beautiful thing you can Google. And they take the lead with that. Now, you have a loss of life already. You put some of your men in harm's way, and now you have more people. If something happens, and just imagine the criticism that would take place if we lost more men, okay? Put yourself in their position. You're trying to do the best that you can. And all you get in return...
Sorry, man, AJ, I don't believe the city's doing the best it can. And the city's not convincing me that they are. That's the sad thing about this. If the city really is, they need to communicate that to the voters.
Yeah, I know. We're making all these assumptions without the benefit of the knowledge and experience of the department.
Okay, well, whose fault is that? It's not my fault.
No. I'm saying it's we're criticizing them. It's just not fair.
I'm sorry. I disagree. I disagree, AJ. Those are public servant positions, and we vote. And we put people in those positions. And I refuse to believe that there are policies and procedures that are so cumbersome that something can't get done that would probably have been done a lot quicker in another city. Have you ever lived anywhere else?
Well, I beg to differ.
Have you ever lived anywhere else?
I understand your position. I mean, I know it's good for ratings and everything, but trust me, the guys, the people that are in charge, there's none better anywhere.
AJ, here's the frustrating part. You have yet to answer the question about why there's a fire truck there 24 hours a day. I'm not questioning Tim McConnell. I'm just wondering why he is the main voice. Where's the mayor?
Oh, okay. So the criticism is not necessarily for the fire, but it's USAR, Urban Search and Rescue. We've got...
They're not searching for anything. There's nothing. What are they searching for, AJ?
Well, it's to maintain the safety of the surrounding situation. That building can collapse even further any minute. Like right now with the rain, the weight of the water can cause a shift, or even in one shift.
Okay, so
bring on.
So if it starts to collapse, what's the fire department that's there? What are they going to do?
It's illegal. I don't want to get too far in, but there's a legal situation where if we leave the scene, we have to keep the scene for legal purposes. In other words, like if we had a fire and we lost somebody in the fire, the feds have to come in. We can't give up the scene for legal purposes. That I can just tell you that. But there's a lot. It's a lot more in depth than just that. It's a liability.
So it's bureaucratic BS.
Well, I wouldn't
All right, if there was a live person in there, they'd go after the person no matter what, correct?
We had live people in there.
If there was a live person trapped in there, we'd go after them, right?
Within reason, of course.
Okay, so but why wouldn't the same paperwork apply when it comes to a live person as opposed to like a somebody who's perished in the collapse?
I mean, what I'm trying to convey is easy to criticize without knowing the parameters and limitations that you're faced with. And it's easily readily available. I'm sure you can find it online, the department policies and procedures, rules and regulations, and that IOC And this, you're right. There is
Let's get bogged down in bureaucracy. Let's continue to make excuses, AJ. Let's continue to excuse incompetence.
Just think of the incompetence that would be there if you caused more death, and how open up the city to more.
Okay, then. Why is it that mountain rescue teams and ski patrol teams, why do they go into dangerous situations and recover bodies and recover people? There are people who are willing, who are paid well to risk their lives to perform these jobs.
There's no doubt in my mind that they haven't factored that into consideration. The problem is the collapse is such that the unknown is, when will it collapse any further? Who are you going to put? Are you willing to volunteer to put your...
No, that's not my profession. No, that's not my... I wouldn't do that because that's not my profession. I wouldn't be a good person.
Responsible for the main responsibility for the people in charge is the safety of their men, okay? And you can't...
I understand that.
If it was me and I was still there, I'd volunteer to go, and they would tell me, no, it's not safe. I promise you that.
So if you were still with the fire department, you would volunteer to go in there and try and remove that body?
They're probably more than just me. I work with the guys.
So you're saying that there are firefighters in New Orleans that would be willing to go in and retrieve that body?
I'm taking it out of context and put words in my mouth. I'm just saying, as a fireman, we're more than willing to put our life on the line to save somebody.
What about the body?
The body, you can't save a dead body. It's already
Don't insult my intelligence with that. I mean, obviously that's true. But you just suggested that you would be willing to go in and retrieve the body.
As somebody in charge, mitigate the situation. It's hard to put somebody's life, you know, you got kids, wife, family, on the line.
Wait a minute. Time out here, AJ. Firefighters and police officers, they put their lives at risk every day they put on a uniform. So why is that a criteria? That's not a fair criteria.
It's referred to as a calculated risk. If it was worth it, it would already be done.
Well, AJ, AJ, I have to get to a break. And we've gone on much longer than I should have.
I know you never stay on this long with anybody.
I've got to get to a break. I appreciate the information, but like a bureaucracy, it's the same thing coming up over and over again. But I do appreciate your information.
I just wish I could convey to you and your listeners just how the situation really is. It'd be like me telling you how to run your radio show.
Well, nobody ever does that. AJ, I'm glad you took time to call the show. Do you see what we're dealing with? The policies, the procedures. Bureaucracy, government is, I wish I could say it, but I have to say BS. It is. It is inefficient. It is incompetent. It gets in its own way. By its very nature, it is incompetent. It is BS. And we put up with it. If you want to join us, 260-1870, text number 870-870. Hang on, get to more of your texts and your calls when we come back. It's a rainy Thursday. Hey, look, I love this city, and it does not bring me pleasure to be critical of the city, but as an honest talk show host, I'm not doing this specifically for ratings. I mean, I'm on the air to get ratings, but I don't pick a topic and say, okay, I'm going to get ratings with this. No, if you listen to this show on an ongoing basis, you know we pick the topics that we think are important to talk about or some of the ones that are just fun to talk about. From Madisonville, Thomas, welcome to our show.
Okay, Scoot, I always agree with you. hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. I always agree with you, man. I've been a fan of yours when I was a kid, when you would call the Vatican. I grew up in Canada. I've been playing music all my life. I know who you are. You're a good guy. What you're wrong is Ahmed Cantrell was following policies and procedures. The reason that fire truck is out there. Now, don't hang up on me when I have to put you in your place.
Well, I've got the code word. I've got the code word coming up.
Well, I'll be real quick then.
Then go ahead.
Ahmed Cantrell's out there doing the best you can, because if that fire truck's not there, we have a huge liability. What if somebody goes in that building and causes it to fall? The fire truck's out there. Where's your sense, dude? Mayor Cantrell got this handled. And she's our leader. We got to believe in our leader.
I would think that if we're worried about people getting in the building, it would be the police. It seems like it. Look, I'm not criticizing. I'm asking the question why the fire department is there. It would make more sense if the police was there. Are you there, Thomas? I don't know. I guess he hung up. I'm asking the question. You know, why is it when you ask a question, people think that it's a rhetorical question and it doesn't really require an answer? I mean, I was really curious, why is the fire department there? If they're worried about trespassers, why aren't the police there? And again, I think the big problem here is this city is not properly communicating with the citizens. And that falls on the mayor's office. This is reality, and we can't ignore it. If you're on hold, hang on. It's time for the $1,000 Intercom National Cash Contest. The code word this hour is SHOUT. Text S-H-O-U-T to 72881. Used in a sentence, the song SHOUT by Tears for Fears is one of my favorites. Text SHOUT, S-H-O-U-T, to 72881, and you can qualify to win $1,000. Next code word coming up right before the top of the hour news at 3 o'clock, and we never charge for text, but individual plan text and data rates may apply. Please don't text and drive. We had something totally else planned for the next hour, but every line is lit up. Texts are pouring in. We'll continue with your calls and with your text, because this is important. It is about the running of the city of New Orleans. It's bigger than just the collapse of the Hard Rock. I'm Scoot. We'll be back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.